Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Zavachim daf Tzadi Dalid. We left off, we did yesterday's daf, of course, Shabbos afternoon, but we left off at the Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. Today we're going to continue talking about the halachas of what happens if blood of a chatas spatters on what we had spoken about was if blood spatters on the begadim of a koi. Now we're going to talk about what happens if blood spatters on other various items. What happens if it spatters on something that's leather? Does the leather have to be laundered? We're going to see that whether the thing has to be laundered really depends on whether it's a finished kli, whether it's considered a finished beged, and whether it is roy lekabel tuma. If it is not roy lekabel tuma, if it's not a finished beged, if it's not completed, then it's not going to require kibbutz. If it is completed, then it is going to require kibbutz. We're going to talk a little bit more about where the kibbutz has to be, where the kibbutz has to be done. The Gemara is going to talk about regarding leather, whether hard leather requires kibbutz, only soft leather, nafkaminas legabe hilcha Shabbos. So we'll see all of that in today's shiur. But again, generally continuing on the topic of the laundering that's required if the blood of a chatas comes in contact with a beged. So says the Mishnah, again, it's Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis towards the bottom, nitas ala or, if the blood of the chatas spatters on leather, ad shelo hufshat, before it is actually skinned, before it's separated from the animal, ain't on kibbutz, then it doesn't require kibbutz. And Rashi says, we're going to explain in the Gemara, the reason that it doesn't require kibbutz is because the only time it requires kibbutz is if it's roy lekabel tuma without a chisaron malacha. And over here, obviously, there is a chisaron malacha because the leather is still attached to the animal. So obviously, it's not fit for use as a kli. Therefore, it's not going to require kibbutz just yet. Mishe hufshat, however, once it is separated from the animal, once the leather is separated from the animal, ton kibbutz divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says at that point, it does require kibbutz because it is ready to be used. However, the Mishnah then cites an opposing view. Rav Elazar Omer, af mishe hufshat, even after it is separated from the animal, inoton kibbutz, it does not require kibbutz, ella makom hadam. Because the only thing that requires kibbutz even when it is separated from the animal, it doesn't require kibbutz. And why? So Rashi explains over here, af mishufshat calls manchalon atakin lios kli ain't on kibbutz to be in a davar makabel tuma shein mechusar afilu machshava. In other words, it's not enough that it simply be separated from the animal. What we require in order to institute the requirement of kibbutz is that it be a completed kli. A completed kli means that all of the work necessary to turn it into a kli has been done, and also it's not lacking any further machshava. In other words, this is your intended ultimate use of the kli. And this leather clearly requires some working and some further working with if before it's going to be actually a completed kli, and therefore even once it's separated from the animal, still it's not makabel tuma, and therefore it does not require kibbutz. So says the Gemara that, and the Shita fills in some words over here, that ein aton kibbutz ella makom hadam, that the only part of the beged that requires kibbutz is the place where the blood spattered on the beged. Rashi points out, but not the entire beged. It's only the stain that requires kibbutz. The davar shuroy lekabel tuma, and it's got to be a davar that's roy lekabel. It's got to be a davar that's roy lekabel tuma. And Rashi points out, roy lekabel tuma means, this is now the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who says roy lekabel tuma means that it could potentially be used as a kli in its current state, even though it may be mechusar machshava, even though you may not intend to use it exactly like this. So that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that we saw in the Mishnah, not Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar said, no, it's not ton kibbutz until it's done. Rabbi Yehuda says, once the skin comes off the animal, once the or comes off the animal, it requires kibbutz because it could potentially be used as a kli. So Rashi again points out that this part of the Mishnah, stomach kishitas Rabbi Yehuda. So again, what we have said was that the only place that requires kibbutz is makam adam, and it's got to be a dover that's roy lekabel toma veroy lekibbutz. It also has to be the type of beged that is susceptible to kibbutz. That's roy for kibbutz, and we'll see in the Gemara what that might come to exclude. So echad a beged vechad a sak vechad a ar, whether it's a beged made out of like cotton or linen or a sackcloth or leather, tunin kibbutz, they all require kibbutz. Vakibbutz b'makom kadosh. And the kibbutz has to be in a makam kadosh, meaning you have to do the kibbutz of the beged in the azara. Veshviras kli, and remember we had said that also if you cook the basar of a chatas in a kli, then that kli requires either shvira if it's a klei cheres, or it requires marika ushtifa if it's a klei nechoshes. So that shviras kli or marika ushtifa has to also be in the azara. Veshviras kli cheres b'makam kadosh. That also has to be done in the Azara. And zechomer bechatos may bekatche kachim. That this is a chumrah by a chatos as opposed to over the halacha by katche kachim. And what the Rashi points out, what does it mean, zechomer? Zechomer meaning the halacha of kibus is a chumrah that applies by the dam chatos that doesn't apply by other katche kachim. Because the din of Mariko Shtifa, as we saw yesterday, and yesterday's daf, also applies by Kache Kachim. It might not apply to Truma, but it also applies by other Kache Kachim. Again, the reason being that that the Mariko Shtifa, we'll see in a couple of days, is actually required so as to eliminate all remnants of the carbon from the pot to make sure that there's no Nosar. So Nosar is a concept that applies to all carbonas, and therefore it would apply more broadly. However, Kibus applies only to... Kibbutz applies only to a chatas. So it says the Gemara, Minani Mili. So how do we know this? So the Tanur Rabbanan Beged. It says Beged. Ein li ela Beged. So I only learn a Beged. And I only learn that the halacha of Kibbutz is required by a Beged. And as Rashi points out, Stam Beged is from Tsemer Upishtim. Stam Beged is actually only from wool or linen. So how do I know that leather requires kibbutz as well? So minayin l'rabos or, how do I know to require or misho hufshat once it's taken off the animal? Tamalomar asher yazeh techabes. Because it says asher yazeh techabes, meaning that's a ribuy. It says anything asher yazeh, that the blood spatters on techabes. Yachal shani marbe or ad shelo hufshat. I might think, oh, in that case, if anything requires kibbutz, then maybe the leather will require kibbutz, even if the blood got on the leather while the leather was still on the animal. So says the Gemara, Tamalomar beged. Nah, it still has to be a beged. Ma beged haroy lekabel tuma, just like a beged is roy lekabel tuma, afkol haroy lekabel tuma, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So too, according to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, as soon as the item is roy lekabel tuma, even if it's not your ultimate intended use of the item, but as soon as theoretically, conceptually, it's roy lekabel tuma, then it's going to require kibbutz. Rebbe Lezer is going to have to learn this differently, because again, Rebbe Lezer was the one who said that the or does not require kibbutz until it is actually fashioned into the kli with the ultimate intention that the owner intends to use it with. So it's not enough that it's roy lekabel tuma, it actually has to be mekabel tuma, because it's actually got to be the intended use of the kli as far as the owner is concerned. Now, Rabbi Lazar Omer, beged, ein li ela beged, I only learn beged, so minayin larabos, sak, v'chol mini begadim. How do I know to include a sackcloth and other types of begadim? Rashi says, what other types of begadim are we alluding to? We're alluding to begadim made out of silk or other fine material. So tamalomar asher alea techabes. That it says, asher alea techabes, whatever the person happens to be wearing has to be, that gets dirty with the blood of the chatas, has to have this kibbutz. So yechal shani marbe or misha hufshat. I might think that we should include or misha hufshat, leather, once it is taken off of the animal, meaning immediately after it's taken off of the animal, even if it hasn't had yet any tick on any further work that's required for the or. Tamalomar beged, ma beged davar hamekabel tuma, afkol davar hamekabel tuma. So here's the sheet of Rav Elazar who says that it's got to be like a beged, just like a beged is mekabel tuma, so too the R is only requires kibbutz when it's mekabel tuma. And Rashi points out mekabel tuma means it's not lacking anything. It has all of the work that is needed done to it already. And it's also not mechusar machshava. In other words, you don't intend to use this thing as anything else. You intend to use the R exactly as it is now. Once you intend to use the R exactly as it is now, then halachically it has the status of a completed kli. It's mekabel tuma, and at that point, it's ta'an kibbutz. So says the Gemara, my taima. So what's the distinction? In other words, what's the distinction between the shita of Rabbi Elazar, who says that it doesn't require kibbutz until it's actually mekabel tuma, and Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it requires kibbutz once it's even roi lekabel tuma, even if it might not be actually mekabel tuma, because you might have a different machshava to use it for something else. So what's the distinction between these two shitas? Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye. So Abaye says that matlis pchusa mishalosh ikabenayu, that a little cloth that's less than three etzbos is the difference between them. So Mandi Amar Roi, according to the Mandi Amar, according to Rav Yehuda, says that it's got to be Roi lekabel tuma hanami Roi. It is Roi lekabel tuma. Why? The boy chashav aleha, because if you wanted, you could have in mind a machshava to make this thing a patch on a bigger beged, and therefore this patch could then be mekabel tuma, even though it's less than 3 by 3 finger breadths. Usually 3 by 3 finger breadths is the minimum shear of a beged, unless you intend that you're going to put this as part of a bigger beged. So it's roi lekabel tuma, because if you had a machshava to use it as a patch, as part of a bigger beged, then it would be mekabel tuma. However, according to Mandi Amar Roy, Onami Roy, Diboy Choshev Aleha, Mandi Amar Dovar Mekabel Tuma, Hamiyo Lavbas Kibule Tumahi. But according to Rabbi Lazar, who says that it doesn't require kibbutz until it actually is Mekabel Tuma, this thing is not Mekabel Tuma. Why is it not Mekabel Tuma? Because it's Mechusar Machshava. Right now, it's an Ashir that's too small to be Mekabel Tuma. It would be Mekabel Tuma if you did, in fact, have that Machshava to use it as a patch, but you haven't yet had that Machshava to use it as a patch. Therefore, the bottom line is, even though it's Roy with that Machshava, you haven't had the Machshava, therefore it's not Mekabel Tuma, therefore it doesn't require Kibbutz, according to Rabbi Elazar. Okay, so says the Gemara Viter. So Rava Amar, Beged shechishev aleha litzura, a beged that you had in mind you were going to embroider. So what Rashi points out that what Rava is doing here is Rava saying that you don't even have to come onto a case to find an afkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar to talk about a very tiny beged of less than three fingers. Less than three etzbos. You could also be talking about a bigger beged, which is something that might be fit to be used as a beged, but you might have in mind to do additional work with it. Like, as Rashi points out, that it's even beged gadol nami mishkachas la, the roi lekabel, ve'ena mekabel, kegon shechishev aleha letzairo b'maisa rokem. You might have in mind to weave it or to embroider it. The kol chama delot zairei o mevato lemachshavaso lav kliyu. Because so long as you haven't embroidered it, unless you then renege on your thought that you want to embroider it, it's not considered to be a kli because it is not a completed kli. So says the Gemara, therefore Rava says, we find the nafkamina even by a big beged, a beged shechisha v'la litzura ika beinayu, mandam roy, according to Rabbi Yehuda, hanami roy, it's also roy lekabel tuma, di boy mevatel le machshavase, because if you would be mevatel your machshava, that you're going to continue doing work on the beged now in this state would be mekabel tuma. However, However, according to Mandamar, it says that it's got to be something that actually is Mekabel Tuma. Rabbi Lazar, it is not yet Mekabel Tuma. Even though it's a big beged, it's the shear of a beged, it could be used as is, but you have in mind to do something else with it. Therefore, until your intention is fulfilled, it is not Mekabel Tuma for you. So says the Gemara Viter. So Rava Amar, and again the Mesoras Hashas changes the girsa here to, he's changed it to Amar Rava instead of Rava Amar, but others change it to Rabba or Ravina, because we just had what Rava said. So so let's be Gores Amar Rabba. So Utsva dechashav aleh lekatza ikabenayu, that a cloth spread that you have in mind to trim is another good example of a nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar. Madam Aroy, according to the Rabbi Yehuda, says that it's got to be Roy Lekabal Toma, Hanami Ruya, then this cloth trim, which is also a big bed, with this cloth spread, which is also a big beged, is Roy to be Mekabal Toma. However, Mandi Amar Davar Mekabal Toma, Halav Mekabal Toma, Adem Mekzala. However, according to Rabbi Elazar, who says that you actually have to be done with all of the malachas that you intended in order to make this into the final beged from your perspective, you haven't yet gotten there yet, because it's the cloth spread, you intended to trim it. So long as you haven't trimmed it, it's not Mekabal Toma. Vatanya, Rav Shem ben Menasya Omer, Utzva Shechoshav Alei Lekotza, to Vatanya, and we learn Benichusa, Reb Shem ben Menasi Omer, Utzva Shechoshav Alei Lekotza, cloth spread that you have in mind to trim, Tahora Ad Sheyikza Ena, it's going to be tar until you actually cut it down, until you actually trim it, because this is the Shita of Rebbe Lazar, that even though it's Roy Lekabal Toma as is, because you, the owner, had in mind an extra machshava of another maisa to do with the, or another malacha that needed to be done with the item, it's not actually mekabeltum until that malacha has been completed. Okay, says the Gemara. Einton kibbutz, now we saw in the Mishnah, einton kibbutz, the only part that requires kibbutz is the part that got stained. So minani mili, how do I know this? The Tanur Rabbanan, yachal nitez al mixas beged yi, kol habegaton kibbutz. I might think that if the blood spatters on part of the beged, then the entire beged should require kibbutz. Tamalomar asher yazet, lo amarti l'cha ela mokom dam bilvad, that the only place that requires kibbutz is the place that got the stain itself alone. Says the Gemara, davar shu roi l'kabel tuma. It's got to be a davar that's roi l'kabel tuma. In other words, even if it's not actually mekabel tuma, so long, because it's lacking some halacha, so long as it's roi, it's enough. And as Rashi pointed out in the Mishnah, stama k'Rabbi Yehuda. It says stama k'Rabbi Yehuda because, again, it's Rabbi Yehuda, the one who said that it's all it needs to be is roi l'kabel tuma, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar, who says, no, it actually must be Mekabal Tumah, because you must be done with all of the malacha that you had wanted to do with it. Says the Gemara, royally kibus. Also, the Mishnah said that the only thing that requires kibus is something that's royally kibus. Lemiute kli debar gredahi. It's to come to exclude a kli which is cleaned, not by laundering, but by scraping it. So some materials are so hard that you don't launder them, you scrape them, that would not require kibus. Then we said Vaiter, Echad Abeged Vechad Asak. And then we said Ve'echad Ar. So the Gemara, when it's citing the Mishnah, leaves out the most important word here. So now what we're going to talk about is leather, and is leather actually susceptible to being laundered? So says the Gemara, Lameimra Di Ar Bar Kibasu. You mean to tell me that leather can be laundered for a minu, but I'll ask you a kasha. I saw love Leshleshes. If there was a little bit of dirt on a pillow, then mekancha b'samratut, you can wipe it with a rag. Haisa shalar, however, if it was made out of, if the little pillow was made out of leather, then nosen alei mayim achetchale. Then you can put water on the stain until the stain goes away. And Rashi points out that we're talking about on Shabbos, and Rashi says, if it's a cloth pillow and there's a stain, you're allowed to wipe it with a rag, but you're not allowed to put water on it, because if you put water on it, it's kibus, and kibus is an av malacha. The kibus av malacha hu haynu malabein vim hoysa lashleshes. Zu al kar shel or, however, if the stain was on leather, the nosen ela mayim ache tichle b'shtifas mayim, then you're allowed to pour the water on the stain, and you're allowed to let the water continue to hit the stain until the stain dissipates. Umiyu shifshufe biyadayim lo, you're not allowed to rub it with your hands. Umigatoni nosen ela mayim shmami no ein kibus ba'ar. But Rashi points out, from the fact that the Gemara tells me that I'm allowed to pour water on the leather, isn't it apparent that there is no idea, there is no concept of kibbutz by leather, because I'm not allowed to do kibbutz on Shabbos, therefore I'm not allowed to pour water on cloth, but I'm allowed to pour water on leather. Obviously, leather is not susceptible to being washed. So says the Gemara, and that conflicts obviously with our Mishnah that says that or requires kibbutz. So Rabbaya, Lokasha, Harabanan, Oacherim. There's a machlokes. Titania, Habeged Vasak, Mechabso, that a beged and sack get kibbutz, hakliv ha'or migarero. So the chachamim say that by leather, how do you clean it? You scrape it. You don't launder it. However, acherim omrim habeged vasak ve'or mechabso ve'akliv migarero. That beged and sack and leather you would launder it, but like an actual utensil, that's what you would scrape. So whether leather is susceptible to kibbutz is a machlokes between the chachamim and the acherim. So says the Gemara, Kaman azlaha diyama Rav Chiya Barashi. So who does the following go like? So Rav Chiya Barashi says, Zinnin sagiyin avakim nekame de Rav. I was before Rav on a number of occasions. V'shachsiche le mesane b'maya. And he asked me to rinse his shoes with water on Shabbos. So come on, Rabbanan. So that holds like the Rabbanan who said that shoes are cleaned, or that leather is cleaned by scraping, not by laundering. Therefore, pouring water on the shoes on Shabbos would be mutter. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Umikol Mandi Amar Or Lav Bar Kibasu. But is there really a Mandi Amar who can say in good faith that or is not susceptible to kibbutz vaksiv vabeged o ashsi o erev o kol kli or asher techabes? It says beferish in a pasuk kli or asher techabes. How can you tell me that or is not susceptible to kibbutz? We have in a pasuk that tells me that your mechabes are. So says the Gemara elama rava kromas nisim barachin. Nah, the pasuk, the Mishnah, and the pasuk over there are talking about soft leather. Soft leather is definitely clean through laundering, and therefore, if you would pour water on soft leather on Shabbos, it's definitely going to be usur because that's the violation of the malacha of kibbutz. Ki pligi bekashin. When do they argue? They argue about hard leather. So they're arguing about hard leather. So ve'amar Rav, how can you tell me they're arguing about hard leather? Ve'amar Rav Chiya zimnet sagiyin avakim nekameh derav. That I was before Rav, he reports, v'sachsichile mesani b'maya, and he told me to rinse his shoes on with water on Shabbos. So shouldn't we assume that Rav was wearing nice soft leather loafers? Says the Gemara, don't make that assumption. Rather, b'kashin, maybe he was wearing hard leather, u'charabanan, and he holds like the Rabbanan who said that hard leather is cleaned by scraping, and not like the Acherim who said that hard leather is also cleaned by laundering. So Hadamar Rava. So then Rava said, Lav Milsi Idamri. Now forget about what I said. Neku Nemale Lakra Dechi Chasvinan Berachin Kasvinan. When the pasuk is talking about leather, it's talking about soft leather. Milo Askinan. Aren't we talking about Bekli Ach Salgia? Habam imdina sayam, that it's a kli made out of hard-boiled leather that comes from Medina Sayam, the kamarachmana niboy kibbutz. And yet the pasuk says that if there's saras on the beged, then it requires kibbutz, even if we're dealing with that type of hard leather. So how could we say that the leather that we're talking about in the psukim is all soft leather? One of the types of kalim that could get saras that we're talking about in the pasuk is a kli made out of hard leather, which is mashma that even hard leather is susceptible to kibbutz and is laundered through kibbutz. And there's a makar in the psukim for that. So says the Gemara, elamarava saras kivan de migufe kaparcha mechalchala yamashvale rach. No, the saras, because it actually is in the guf of the or, the saras itself has the effect of weakening the leather and makes it into a davar rach. So don't assume that in the psukim we're talking about a davar kasheh. We're not talking about a hard thing, because even if we might be talking about a kli that ordinarily comes from hard leather, the fact that saras is in the leather softens the leather, it weakens the leather, and therefore all of the leather that the psukim talk about are soft leather, and maybe it's only that type of leather that is susceptible to kibbutz. So Amar Rava, so Rava says, If you want a kasha, if I want to ask a kasha, this is what I would ask a kasha from. So turning over now to Tzadi Dalam and Rebeis, Karim Viksasos Terachaninu, by pillows and blankets which are soft. Vitznan, and we learn as follows: Haisa shel or, if they're made out of leather, no sinela mayim ache techale, that you could put water on them until the stain goes away. And how is that possible? Because these things are definitely soft, and the pasuk definitely tells me that soft leather is susceptible to kibbutz. So how could it be that on Shabbos I'm going to pour water on a soft leather item? Isn't that a violation of kibbutz? So says the Gemara, Elama Rava, kol kibbutz, the less lay sichso, kiskus, lo shmei kibbutz. Any kibbutz that doesn't come involved with scrubbing is not really considered kibbutz. So again, yes, soft leather is susceptible to kibbutz. You're going to ask me, how can I pour water on the soft leather? Isn't that kibbutz? The answer is no, that's not kibbutz. That's pouring water on something. Kibbutz is when you pour water on something and you actually rub it to make the stain go away. V'yomer Rav Chiya bar Ashi, I Rav Chiya bar Ashi said, Zimnin Sagiyin Avikimna Kamei Derav, that I used to be before Rav, and he used to tell me to rinse his shoes on Shabbos. How was I able to do that? So says the Gemara, yes, sichsuchzin aval kibus lo. That it's sichsuch, that it's only rinsing, that's fine. But kibus, actually rubbing the leather once you poured water on it, that he would definitely not tell me to do. And ibarach in uchedivrei akol, and either we're talking about soft leather and it's kedivrei akol, because everybody agrees that you could pour water on it so long as you don't rub it. Ibakashin ubukacherim, or maybe he holds like that machlokas that we saw in Amud Aleph, or maybe it was hard leather and he holds like the acherim who say that hard leather is included, that hard leather is included in kibbutz, and therefore he was only allowed to rinse it, but he was not allowed to actually scrub it once he rinsed it. So says the Gemara, well, I hachi beged nami. So if that's the case, then by a beged as well, you should also be able to put water on it. But what did we say in the brisa that we cited on Amud Aleph? In that brisa, we said that if you have cloth, if you have a beged that has a stain, so you could wipe it with a little cloth. So why do we only say that you could wipe it with a little cloth? You should also lechora be able to pour water on it, as long as you don't rub it. So says the Gemara. So beged shuryoso ze kibuso. No, because by a beged, wetting it is considered to be its kibus. Rava letameh, and now Rava goes according to his own reason. The Amar Rava zarak sudar lamayim. If you throw a sudar into the water, chayev, you're going to be chayev because that's laundering. Zarak pishtan lamayim chayev. If you throw pishtan, if you throw flax into water, you're going to be chayev as well. So we'll see why you're chayev for the pishtan as well. But the point is, if you throw the sudar into water, just wetting it is the laundering. Now, says the Gemara, Bishlama Sudar of a kibbutz. I understand if you throw the sudar into water, that's a problem because you're being mechabes the sudar when you're throwing it into water. Ela zara pishtan. However, if you throw flax into water, my taima, what's the reason you're going to be chayv if you throw flax into water on Shabbos? What are you doing? V'chiteima mishum de mekadeach. If you're going to say, the reason is because you're throwing flax. Flax is a plant. When you're throwing it into water, it's going to sprout. And now it's an isra of zorea. So says the Gemara. In that case, iyoch echiti sari nami. That also let the Brisa tell me that I'm not allowed to throw chitin and saorin into the water also because maybe they're going to sprout. Any thing that comes from the ground, I shouldn't throw it into water because it might sprout. Why are you telling me that halacha dafka lagabe flax? Says the Gemara, hanuch islu riri, because flax has this type of mucus on it. And what does that mean? So says Rashi, Zerapishtan b'mayim nafgarira mine umad piki adadi. That there's a mucus that's expelled from the flax when you put it in water, and it causes the pieces of flax to stick together. And so you're basically making something with a flax. That's why you're not allowed to put it in water. Says the Gemara, shlachim nami, also raw hides you should not be able to put into water. And says Rashi, imishum demidbiki berirayu bechayvin luhu, if the problem with putting flax in the water is that you're causing them all to stick together, then you shouldn't be able to put raw hide in water either, because also these raw hides, when you put them in water, there's some sort of mucus that will emit from the hide. It will cause the hides to stick together. And if that's something that you're not supposed to do on Shabbos, then why do you teach me the halacha only regarding flax? I should also not be able to put other things in water as well, such as raw hides. So says the Gemara, Hasam Kavid Lisha. No, the problem is that by flax, and Rashi points out, Hasam Gabezera Pishtan, Ki Medabkat Barira Denafki Minayu. When, what's the issue when they stick together on account of the mucus that emanates from the flax when it's put in water? Says Rashi, the problem is, have you told us Lisha? It's a told of Lisha, because it's like when you knead dough, it all sticks together. So too, when you're putting this flax in water, you're causing it to stick together. However, by raw hides, it doesn't look at all like a type of dough or like a type of food. It's just big things. It's not little things where if they're sticking together, it looks like you're manipulating them with your hand and you're kneading them. And that's why we say that you're not allowed to put the flax into water. So Darash Rava. So Rava says, Viter, another drasha. So mutter lechabes minol b'shabes. That it's mutter to wash a minol on Shabbos. So Emily Rapapa Larava, so says Rapapa Larava, Vamar of Chia Barashi, Zimna Tzagin, Ave Kaimna Kame de Rav, Visach Sichele Misani Bemaya, Sich Zin, Aval Kibus Lo. That how can you tell me it's mutter to wash a shoe on Shabbos, to actually launder a shoe on Shabbos? I, Rav, had permitted Rav Chia to rinse the shoe, just to pour water on it without actually laundering it, without actually scrubbing it and rubbing it and actually trying to get the stain out. Says the Gemara, Hadar Uki Ravi Amora Elev Darash. So Rava then said, Varm Shamarti Levnechem Tos Em Biyadi, that note, what I said to you earlier was a tos. Bram Kach Amru Sichsuch Muter Kibus Aser. So we learn from Rav Chia, Barav's account, personal account of what Rav had him do, that regarding leather on Shabbos, regarding those shoes on Shabbos, it's mutter only to rinse them. You are not actually allowed to launder them. In other words, it's mutter to pour water on them, but you're not allowed to scrub them once you pour water on them. Okay, now the Gemara tackles the last part of the Mishnah. Hakibus b'makam kadosh. So the kibus that we keep talking about, that we've been talking about the past couple of days, has to be in a makam kadosh. So minani mili, how do we know this? To Tana Rabbanan, because we have the following brisa. Techabes b'makam kadosh, that it has to be laundered in a makam kadosh, in the azara. Shviras klicheres minayin. How do I know that the shvira, that a klicheres, that the chatas meat was cooked in, also requires breaking in a makam kadosh? Tamalomar Ukli cheres asher tivushal bo yishaver. So this is an inyan of Vav Mosif, that just like the kibos that we had been referring to earlier has to be in the makam kodosh, so too the shviras kli cheres that we're talking about now also has to be in the makam kodosh, the same place where the kibos was. Says the Gemara, Marika Shtifa B'Kli Nechoshes Minayin. How do I know that the Marika Shtifa that Kli Nechoshes requires also has to be in a Makam Kadosh? Tamalomar Ve'im B'Kli Nechoshes Bushala Umarak V'Shutaf B'Mayim. Again, it says Ve'im B'Kli Nechoshes. So in other words, so just to recap, it says that the Beged has to be laundered B'Makam Kadosh. And then it says Ve'im B'Kli Cheres, Ve'im B'Kli Nechoshes. So the Vav is always Mosif, that the Shvira of the Kli Cheres and the Marikan Shtifa of the Kli Nechoshes all have to be in the same place as the Kibus of the Beged. Okay, says the Gemara, Viter. So Zeh Chomer Bechatas. So says the Gemara, Zeh, meaning what the Mishnah told me was that the inyan of kibbutz, the fact that if the blood of the chatas gets on the beged, that the beged requires kibbutz, that is the chumrah of chatas over other kache kachim. Says the Gemara, Vesulaka, are there no other chumras that a chatas has over all other kache kachim? Va'ika shenichnas dama lefnim. There's an element that the dam of a chatas is brought bifnim, goes inside the kodesh. In other words, the chatas hapnimis goes inside the kodesh. We had learned already last week that if the blood of the chatas chitzona goes in the kodesh, that's actually a disqualification. But there is a type of chatas that's so holy that the blood goes lifnim. So the Rishonim debate whether the girsa here is proper, because in the Gemara it says lifnai v'lifnim. Shenichnas adama lifnai v'lifnim. Is that really true? So either we delete the lifnai and we just say lifnim, that the blood goes lifnim, and then we're talking about a regular chatas hapnimis, or maybe we do say lifnai v'lifnim and we're talking about the chatas on Yom Kippur, that the blood goes lifnai v'lifnim. But either way, the blood of the chatas goes to a place where the blood of no other korban goes. So v'su leko v'ikah shenichlas adama lifnim bechatas achitzona. So we're talking about a chatas achitzon where the blood doesn't go inside. Shem nichlas adama lifnim psula. That we're talking about but maybe by shem nichlas adama lifnim psula, that by echatas chitzon the halacha is that if the blood goes inside, then it's pasul, and that itself is a chumra that not every other carbon has. Says the Gemara, Rebbe Kiva, Damar kol dam em shen chazula heichal chaper psula. No, because we all like Rebbe Kiva says, the fact that the chatas blood becomes disqualified when it goes inside is not a chumra that's unique to chatas, because the blood of any carbon that's supposed to be in the azora that goes into the heichal is going to become disqualified. Why don't we say that the chumra of a chatas is that it can be mechayev al chayve krisus, because the halacha is, what do you bring a chatas on? You bring a chatas on a lav sheyesh bo kares that you did for shogeg. So that's a huge chumra of a chatas, that it's mechaper even on chayve krisus. But chatas the shmias kol, we're talking about the chatas by edus that you have to bring for shvuas edus, not by a chatas that atones for a kares bearing sin. Why don't we say shekein tu na arba matonos? Why don't we say that the chatas has an added chumra that it requires four matnos dam on the four kronos? Rav Yishmael, the Amar kol damim tunim dala matonos. We old like Dalid. We old like Rav Yishmael, who says that all karbonos require four matonos. In other words, what do we mean four matonos? We mean shnayim sheim arba, that you apply them on two corners and they go on each side of the corner. So that's considered to be halachically four matonos. Al dalid kronos. But the chatas blood actually has to be applied on the keren itself. Says the Gemara, Ulatameich, are you really trying to figure out every stringency that chatas has over every other karban? Forgetting about the keren, hoika keren, hoika etzba, the chatas blood is applied with the finger, hoika chuda, it has to be applied right to the corner. Okay, in the Mishnah, we happen to be learning it about kibbutz, and the Mishnah is making an observation that kibbutz applies by adam chatas, it doesn't apply by the blood of other karbanos, and that's why we say, this is a chumra of chatas over other karbanos. It doesn't mean this is an exclusive list of the chumras of chatas. Sure, there are other chumras of chatas. This is the one that we were talking about. We were talking about the halach of kibbutz, so we're making the observation that halach of kibbutz applies only by chatas, not by other karbanos. All right, so we'll stop here. We'll pick up from the Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow.